Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter, where Jesus says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke sets the context for our gospel lesson, writing, "Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt." It's a comparison between two different kinds of righteousness found in all people who claim to believe in our Lord God. One is a true hypocrite. The other is a true saint. One declares itself to be righteous. The other is declared righteous by God. One returns home from the temple self-justified and condemned in his sin. The other returns home justified in the face of God. You know the parable well. A Pharisee came to a busy temple court to pray. Pious Jews typically pray out loud, so while he positions himself apart from the rest of the people, he certainly can't be outside of earshot of all those others gathered. He presents what's nothing more than an obnoxious display designed to impress the common folks who are gathered nearby. He doesn't pray for forgiveness of sins because he believes he's sinless. He doesn't ask God for increased faith because he has perfect faith in himself. Instead, he calls out to God in thanksgiving, not thanking God for the gifts that he had bestowed upon him, but giving thanks to God for himself. He goes on to boast that he's not like the other men in the world. He's not like the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers. Best of all, he's not like that pathetic tax collector standing over there who don't even have the guts to lift his eyes to heaven. He feels that he is a pretty wonderful guy. He goes on to tell God what a great guy he is. He gives double the tithe and he fasts regularly. He is a wonderful example of the true hypocrite, for he does not love, trust, and fear God. Jesus presents his Pharisee as an example of the greatest amount of righteousness that the natural man can attain by his own power and strength and reason. Now, if you believe that you meet the righteousness of this Pharisee, or if your righteousness exceeds this Pharisee, well, congratulations. You've made a god of yourself. You've justified yourself, and you will leave this place this morning secure and condemned in your sin. And unfortunately, just like the Pharisee, you and I tend to look around our neighborhoods and thank God that we're not like many of our neighbors. Now, of course, you know down in your heart you're not an adulterer. You're not in a same-sex relationship. You're neither racist nor do you condemn those who oppose your political position. But the fact is, you're just better at hiding your sin than your neighbor. And what about contempt? Tell me what it feels like when you see your neighbor finally have their sin exposed. They're reaping what they've sown. Doesn't it give you a good feeling down inside? It's about time he suffered some hard times. Yet when you suffer hard times, you're like Cain in our Old Testament lesson. You cry out to God saying, "My punishment is much greater than I can bear." Tell me about all the times that you volunteer at the shelter and how much you give to the poor and the hungry. And what about your commitment to prayer and meditation on God's word? The fact remains, when you and I honestly examine ourselves in the mirror of God's law, we're nothing more than self-righteous little Pharisees. A tax collector also came to the temple that day to pray. Tax collectors in those days were social outcasts. They were despised as much as the lepers and the prostitutes, for many were dishonest. They worked on behalf of the Roman Gentiles, so they were outcasts. They were viewed as traitors to the Jewish faith. Yet in the parable, as Jesus often does, he turns things upside down. He uses the tax collector to represent all who, by faith, humbly trust in God to save them from their sin. Unlike the Pharisee, the tax collector stands far off at a distance, for he feels the gravity and the shame of his sin. He can't bring himself to compare himself with others. He is only focused on his own unworthiness. He is an unworthy sinner calling upon a holy and just God, knowing he deserves nothing more than eternal wrath and punishment. He can't bring himself to even lift his eyes toward heaven. But in humble contrition and repentance, he beats his chest as a sign of his unworthiness. And with childlike faith in the gracious God, he prays, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This tax collector has life-saving faith in a patient and merciful God. It wasn't faith by his own reason or strength, but it was faith through the Word of God. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us precisely when he came to faith or when he heard God's Word. But when he came to faith doesn't really matter. Somewhere in his travels, someone must have told him that God was merciful and would be gracious to all who confess their sins. What matters is that he called upon the name of the Lord. St. Paul writes to the Romans, "The Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In his first epistle letter, St. John writes, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, to be sure, the Pharisees' works and deeds were not sinful in themselves. His sin was that he trusted only in himself and treated others with contempt. He didn't recognize that he had been born into sin, inherited from his ancient ancestors, Adam and Eve. He didn't realize that he needed a Savior. He exalted himself and he went home self-justified, secure and condemned in his sins. Unless he would later come to faith, well, on the last day, he would be humbled into eternal damnation. The tax collector, on the other hand, he humbled himself before the Lord. He had faith that God is merciful and gracious to poor, miserable sinners such as himself. He went home exalted and justified, declared righteous in God's sight. In our text, Jesus continues to teach that all who humbly trust in the Lord with childlike faith, no matter what their age, no matter what their status in life, even little infants, those are the ones who belong to the kingdom of heaven. You witnessed that humility just a little bit ago here at the font. Just like on your baptismal day, little Bjorn Michael, a child, he was made a child of God through the washing of the water with the Word in holy baptism. He was baptized into Jesus' death so that he too might walk in a newness of life. And just as any child may inherit their parents' blessings or their property, you and Bjorn have inherited God's kingdom, specifically forgiveness of sins, faith, life, and salvation. As we discussed in Bible study earlier, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's no longer you who live, but it's Christ who lives in you. The tax collector went down to his house justified, but that doesn't mean that he was justified so that he could continue living in sin. No, just like little Bjorn and you and me, we must daily fight against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Begin your day remembering your baptism. By contrition and repentance, drown that old Adam, your sins, and all your evil desires, and arise to live a new creation before God in righteousness and in purity. St. Paul writes to the Romans, in baptism, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. After Jesus healed the invalid at the pool on the Sabbath day, Jesus told him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." When the scribes and the Pharisees brought the woman who was caught in adultery to Jesus, they wanted to trick Jesus. But Jesus exposed their hypocrisy, causing them to slowly slunk away, leaving the woman unpunished. Jesus told her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Brothers and sisters in Christ, Almighty God, your Heavenly Father has had mercy upon you, and for the sake of his Son, Jesus, forgives you all of your sins. All of your sins of self-righteous pride, hypocritical faith, and your contempt for your neighbor. Also, your failure to perform good works and deeds that God has prepared for you in advance. With that childlike faith of the tax collector, Jesus promises that you will go home today justified. Listen to Jesus' words. As you go, sin no more. A good tree continues to bloom and bear fruit. A dead tree bears nothing. No one commands the good tree to bear fruit. It just does what it does because that's its nature. If your faith is true, it too will bear fruits of righteousness. Our Lord has given you good works to perform so that you do not lose sight of what he has given you. Jesus told his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." John chapter 15. He told them, "I have given you an example that you also should do just as I had done to you." John chapter 13. And he told them, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13. The world doesn't know that you are a person of faith until they witness the fruits of your faith. No, the fruits won't save you, and they won't win friends and influence people. But your fruits must be on display to show others that you are indeed a child of Christ, a child of the one who bled and died for you on Calvary's cross. It is faith alone who makes you good, but your good works bear witness of your God-given faith. So keep on fighting the good fight of faith, pressing on toward the goal. Continue regularly in prayer and in word and sacrament so that you may be kept in the true faith until you finish the race on the last day, knowing that there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to you on the last day. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.